As you seek to follow God's will for your life, you will go through some times of discouragement. Here's what that's looked like for Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
I have found myself battling fear, extreme weariness, plaguing doubts. I cannot tell you how many times I have wanted to go AWOL.
How do you handle seasons like that? This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. For August 6, 2021, I'm Dana Gresh. Over the next few minutes, we'll hear about a woman whose days were filled with normal, everyday tasks. Does that sound like your life? Well, one day, God called this woman to do something quite unusual, and she was ready to obey. This week, we've been in the book of Judges with Nancy. She's been describing the courage of Deborah in a message called A True Woman Joins the Battle. It's been a rich portrait of a woman who inspired those around her to trust God and to take action. If you missed the first two installments of this story, you can hear them at reviveourhearts.com. Nancy first delivered this message at one of the True Woman conferences. Let's listen to part three of A True Woman Joins the Battle. We'll see that Deborah isn't the only woman God used in this story from Judges.
Back in chapter 4, as we come to the end of the account, we see one other woman who got involved, although admittedly in an unusual way. I won't read the text, but starting in verse 17, there's this dramatic account of the destruction of Sisera, the Canaanite commander, at the hands of a woman named Jael. Jael was not an Israelite, but she sided with the God of Israel against his enemies. You read how Sisera flees through the torrential downpour to Jael's tent, assuming he will be safe there since her family has a treaty with the Canaanites. Sisera is cold, he's wet, he's exhausted. You can just picture him, he's drenched, he's been running through this downpour. And Jael welcomes him, invites him in, gives him some milk to drink. He's exhausted from the battle, he falls asleep, and Jael takes a hammer and drives a tent peg into his head and kills him. Now, Matthew Henry, one of my favorite commentators, suggests that it's possible that Jael initially intended nothing more than true kindness and hospitality until God, quote, by an immediate impulse upon her mind, directed her to do otherwise. And he goes on to say, we are not to rely on such impulses today. Now, this is rather gruesome, and if you haven't heard the story before, you think, wow, what kind of role model is this? But keep in mind that Sisera was a ruthless, violent man who was attempting to destroy God's chosen people. And in fact, in chapter 5, you read that his own mother talks about how he and his men would have thought nothing of raping and killing any woman they considered an enemy. And in Deborah's victory hymn in chapter 5, Jael's act of courage is celebrated, and she is blessed by God. I love what Charles Spurgeon, that great prince of preachers, had to say about God using Jael. He said, the Lord can still use feeble instrumentalities. Why not me? He may use persons who are not commonly called to great public engagements. Why not you? The woman who slew the enemy of Israel was no Amazon, but a woman who tarried in her tent. She was no orator, but a woman who milked the cows and made butter. May not the Lord use any one of us to accomplish his purposes? And so chapter 4, verse 23 tells us, on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. Chapter 5, verse 31 tells us, and the land had rest for 40 years. Can I just remind you of the order? First the battle, and then the rest. The impact of Deborah's life, her courage, her faith, her godly influence, was felt not only in her generation, but in the next. And it makes me ask, what mark will your life have on this generation? And on those who are coming behind us. The spiritual battle in our day is no less intense than it was in Deborah's day. And the enemy is no less powerful. God is chastising his people for our sins and our idolatry. And so many believers in our churches seem oblivious to what is going on. And there are others, many of you perhaps, who recognize what is going on, but we feel so helpless and powerless to do anything about it. I received an email from Chuck Colson not too long ago, who said, "I really believe in this moment in history that the one great hope is that the sleeping giant in our midst, the believers, will be awakened. It has happened before," he said, "and it can happen again if God so chooses." And then he said, "It's the first item I pray for every morning." We started out by reading that quote from John Angell James, "A community is not likely to be overthrown where woman fulfills her mission. For by the power of her noble heart over the hearts of others, she will raise it from its ruins and restore it again to prosperity and joy." And I'm praying that God will raise up in our day not just one woman, but thousands and thousands of women across this country and around the world. Women who will arise as Deborah did. Women of the Word. Women of biblical conviction and courage and vision. Women of faith. Women of humility. Women who are willing to say, "Yes, Lord." Women whose lives will inspire the men around them to believe God for what only God can do. And I believe that the influence of that army of godly women will be incalculable in our homes, our churches, our communities, our culture, and around the world. Now, as we close, let me just say you need to hear this because we're all really inspired right now. But to say yes to be involved in this calling is not for the faint of heart. We have a tireless enemy. He hates God. And he's not pleased with the thought of thousands of women in this room saying yes to Christ. And as we come to the end of our final True Woman 10 conference this year, I just want to tell you that I know a little bit about the battle and a whole lot more than I did when we started. Since the launch of the True Woman movement at True Woman 08 in Schaumburg, and many of you were with us there, in my own life, that battle has intensified. It's gotten much, much hotter, much harder. At times, I have found myself battling fear, extreme weariness, plaguing doubts, discouragement nipping at my heels day and night. I battled my own flesh. I cannot tell you how many times I have wanted to go AWOL. And at times, I'll just be honest with you, I have become really, really tired of swimming upstream, of being shot at, not only by the world, it's really not mostly come from there, but more from within the church at points, from well-meaning people, perhaps. And over again, I found myself wanting to go back to where it's safe, where I could have a more normal life. But I also realized that God has his hand on my life. There's a call of God on my life, not because I'm anything special or extraordinary, but just because I'm a redeemed child of God. My life is not my own. I've been purchased, bought with a price. And my life is tethered to Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I'm coming to realize that there is no safer place to be than in the midst of the battle with him. Martin Luther said it this way, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Just ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear. For God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word, above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Many of you have read or heard the story, the C.S. Lewis Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Remember that moment when Edmund and Lucy and Caspian are on a voyage from Narnia, headed east toward Aslan's country at the end of the world. And at one point, their ship, the Dawn Treader, anchors near land and they all go ashore. Some of the sailors are tired from the long journey, and they want to stop and spend the winter where they are and then head back west and return home to Narnia in the spring. And they're told that if they stay where they are, they'll be given a feast fit for a king every night. That makes them even more reluctant to press on eastward toward Aslan's country. And then Reepicheep. Remember Reepicheep, the valiant talking mouse? He speaks up, and sometimes I feel like as small as Reepicheep. And he expresses his determination to keep pressing on no matter what. You remember what he says? He says, my plans are made. While I can, I sail east in the Dawn Treader. When she fails me, I paddle east in my coracle. It's a small boat. And when she sinks, I shall swim east with my forepaws. And when I can swim no longer, if I have not reached Aslan's country, I shall sink with my nose to the sunrise. God hasn't promised that the journey will be easy. But he has promised to go with us. He's promised to go with you wherever you're going into the battle today. And he's promised that one day prayer will be praise, faith will be sight, every tear will be dried, and our journey will be rewarded. Some are tired and they want to stop. They don't want to press on. Some want their reward here and now. And they may choose to turn back. Perhaps some who've come with you may make that choice. But by God's grace and for his glory, my course is set. My plans are made. And I plan to press on until we reach Aslan's country, the New Jerusalem, the city of the great king. Will you go with me?
Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth knows what it's like to grow tired and discouraged when you're following God's call in your life. She also knows the value of staying in the battle. I hope her honest account of the struggles and joys of staying in the battle has encouraged you. I know it's encouraged me. Nancy's been sharing from the life of Deborah over the past few days. If you've been challenged by this series, you can explore Deborah's life even more in the newest Women of the Bible study, Deborah, Becoming a Woman of Influence. You'll get a glimpse of the era of political oppression and uncertainty Deborah lived in. You'll also see the significance of what God was asking her to do in order that he might call the Israelites back to himself. Her story will inspire you to step into God's plan with boldness. Get a copy of the new Deborah study when you give a gift of any amount to the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. Your donation helps us. It helps us produce programs and resources like what you're hearing today. And we'd like to send you this 6-week study as a thank you gift for your support of this ministry. Visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959 and make sure you ask for the Deborah study. That's 1-800-569-5959. The message we just heard is from a Revive Our Hearts conference where thousands of women gathered to learn from God's word, to worship and to pray together, and they left different than they came. Now, we took a break from conferences in 2020 because of the pandemic, of course, but it's going to be so good to get together again this fall. In fact, Nancy, we recently had a meeting about Revive 21 coming up in early October, and I don't know about you, but I'm just getting really excited.
Yeah, it's getting close. It's getting real, and it was sweet to meet with our team. We started in prayer. We started in the Word, and then we looked at who's coming to speak and what—
Who is coming to speak?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you and I will both be there, and our sweet friend Mary Cassian. I talked with her yesterday about the message she's going to be giving, a really timely message. So the three of us have been at True Woman and Revive conferences before, but this year we have three new voices.
Yeah. Kim Cash Tate. I am so excited about her. Nancy, she was a friend of yours that you introduced me to.
And she's a fairly new friend of mine, but she's a Christian novelist. She's a musician. She's a creative. She loves the Lord. She's a Bible teacher. And the effect she has on me is when I get around her, I just want to be closer to Jesus.
The awesome thing about Bible study is it's not just a daily discipline or exercise. It is time spent with the Lord. And we study with an expectation and desire to hear from the Lord.
Well, Kim Cash Tate will be one of the speakers at Revive 21.
And in addition to Kim, another first-time speaker is Pastor Chris Brooks, who many of our listeners have heard on Moody Radio. He has a daily call-in program called Equipped with Chris Brooks, and this man knows the Word. He loves the Scripture, but he loves revival. He loves the heart of God. He's a great communicator.
Yeah, you know, we heard from Chris Brooks earlier this spring here on Revive Our Hearts in a message he gave from 1 Peter.
There is only one place where you can place your hope and it will not be disappointed. There is only one person that you can put your trust in and you can wake up day after day, sunrise after sunset, and still know that you are safe and secure. There is only one place in all of creation and in all of the universe where we can place our hope and know that we will not be disappointed. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And on that third day, even when it looked like hope was defeated, even when it looked like the cross had won, how many thank God that on that third day, hope walked out of the grave? Hope declared victory. Hope is risen. Hope has a pulse. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus.
I am so looking forward to hearing from Pastor Chris Brooks at Revive 21 in Indianapolis this fall.
And then also with us for the first time,
Laura Perry. I am so excited. I feel like she's a close friend, even though we've never met face to face, and I can't wait to have her with us.
I want to tell you my story tonight, but what I hope you ultimately hear is not a story of how I fixed myself or how my parents fixed me, or no, it was just the Lord that drew me back, that fixed me, that healed me. And this is really his story of redemption.
And her testimony about living as a transgender man and coming to faith in Christ and the transformation he has made in her life. It's so moving, and we're hearing so much about this today, and she's going to be a beautiful addition at Revive 21. And then, oh, the latest addition, Everybody I talked to is so excited about this.
Fast breaking news right here. You're hearing it.
Every birthday is a gift from the Lord, and I've had 77 of them. Plus, I have been happily married for 53 years. Girls, you have to be an old lady to be able to say that.
Susan Hunt will be joining us.
82 years old. I called her and said, Susan, is there any way you could be with us at Revive? And she said, oh, I've been praying. I wanted to be there just because I love this ministry and I love what God's doing through it. And even if I don't speak, I said, we want you to speak. Because every time that woman opens her mouth,
it's precious.
It's precious.
It's really special.
So how does it feel to be an old lady? It feels like a tired, very dependent, very happy little girl being carried in the arms of her father. And she's calling to her friends, look how good and strong my daddy is. And she knows that when she falls asleep in his arms, she'll wake up at home.
Again, that's Susan Hunt, one of our upcoming speakers at Revive 21. That's October 8th and 9th.
And Dan, I forgot a participant that I'm so excited about that I first learned about from you.
Yeah.
We were talking some months ago and said, who would we want to lead music, to lead worship in this conference? And you said, Shane and Shane.
You're all I want. You're all.
Now, they may be familiar to some of our listeners, but some like me weren't as familiar with them, and you sent me several videos, and I watched them lead worship in other settings and heard the rich lyrics, the hymns, the way that they point us to Christ, and we agreed as a team, yes, we wanted them to come, and they said yes.
Yay.
So they'll be with us, not only participating in the conference, but also leading a special evening, kind of closing of the day, linger time at the end of the Friday night session as we just soak in the presence of God. And Dana, there's going to be something special for Grounded listeners, too. Tell us about that.
Well, we're coming. The whole Grounded team is coming to Revive, and we're going to be kind of hosting a live stream option of the entire conference, as well as there's an after party, kind of, with Grounded. We hope you'll join us for that. If you can't be with us in person in Indianapolis, and we sure hope you can, they've actually lifted all the COVID restrictions, so we have the opportunity to fill the venue with women whose hearts want to be rooted and grounded in Christ. But if you can't be with us live in person, the Grounded team will be happy to join you in your living room, in your church, with a group of women, wherever you might be able to join us via live stream.
Go to reviveourhearts.com to get all the information about how to register live and in person or via the live stream. This is a time for us to join our hearts together as women and be encouraged as we seek to remain grounded in Christ. Mm-hmm. And Dan, as we've been talking about the speakers and the messages, this theme, grounded, grounded in the Word of God, grounded in the gospel, grounded in Christ, grounded in the love of God, grounded in Christian community, grounded in times of trials and suffering. I don't know that there's ever been a time when we more desperately needed to understand how to stay grounded and rooted in our faith and in Christ.
You know, in some ways, Nancy, I feel like as we come together, it's a bit of a celebration. We did remain grounded and rooted in Christ through these past difficult year and a half, 18 months or so, and now we're gathering to assert once again that we intend, no matter what next year brings, to remain grounded and rooted in His love.
Yeah, it's been such an inspiring thing for me to see how many people in my sphere have remained steadfast and have persevered through some really hard times over this last year. At the same time, there are still forces at work trying to uproot us from our faith. And that's why I love the theme verse that we've chosen for this year's Revive Conference, the Grounded Conference. It's Colossians 1:23, and we're exhorted to continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting. We're tempted to shift today, to shift theologically, to shift in what we believe, to shift in how we act toward those who are not believers. Continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. The gospel is our hope. Christ is our hope. So this grounded conference is a call to stay fixed on Christ, to keep our eyes on Him, to keep our hearts in His Word, and to know that no matter what happens in the turbulence and the earthquakes and the craziness going on in our world, that we really can be steadfast and grounded in these times. So what a joy it's going to be with God's people and to challenge one another to stay grounded.
Revive 21 is happening this coming October 8th and 9th in Indianapolis, and we want you to be a part of it. You can join us live in person or live online, so sign up today. All the details are at our website, reviveourhearts.com. And don't forget, you can get a copy of the six-week study, Deborah, Becoming a Woman of Influence, with your donation of any amount. You can give at reviveourhearts.com or by calling us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that number is 1-800-569-5959. And if you'd like to call our testimony line and tell us how God has used Revive Our Hearts in your life, that number is area code 269-697-6161. Again, 269-697-6161. And finally, the current season of our Women of the Bible podcast is all about Deborah. In fact, on Monday, you'll get to hear a portion of the Deborah Women of the Bible podcast. Erin Davis, Laura Gonzalez, and Laura Booz will discuss more insights on the life of Deborah. And you can find out what it means to have a mother's heart and be a woman of valor. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth is bringing you the message of freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.
Hey, can I shoot straight with you? If you're disobeying God, you can expect to be miserable. Listen to this moment from the latest Women of the Bible podcast.
All of a sudden, the Lord just closed the faucet. My husband's patience starts. Oh, I can't come. Something started happening, and we're like, what is going on? And we could understand the Lord was just telling us, you're not going to fall into that same pattern again.
Well, you were experiencing discipline.
But we felt oppression. We were oppressed because money was not coming in. My husband just fell on the floor of his practice in desperation.
Wow.
And he cried out.
But here's the thing. You can be free from that kind of misery by embracing obedience. We'll talk about it on the next Women of the Bible podcast with Erin Davis and friends. In Season 6, we're studying the story of Deborah. To hear every episode, subscribe to Women of the Bible on your favorite podcast app.